and welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the debut album from Irish singer-songwriter Dove Ellis called Blizzard, and the first song is called Little Left Hope. Just came out in December, but it has already been getting a lot of attention. And I think Dove Ellis opened for Geese on part of their tour, and Geese is getting a ton of hype right now. So I think that's what has put him in front of a lot of people. But he has just such an amazing voice. And this album is very unusual for a debut album. It's kind of all over the place in styles, and it's a little bit tough to interpret, but it's really, I really like it.
Yeah. I mean, this first track, I love that it's a waltz. So it has this very kind of folky vibe, but then the instrumentation and production feels so big. And so it's hard to pigeonhole it as that. And this versatile voice, which can get so low with this kind of vibrato, and then it gets really high into almost a falsetto, incredibly versatile. And I think a testament to Geese, where Cameron Winter has such a strong voice, and then I feel like Dove Ellis has this even more strong and versatile voice. And it is really funny to read the reviews, because it seems like half of every review is like listing different artists that he sounds like. And what I love is that it's so versatile, and he's not trying to sound like anyone, but you get just little hints of, oh, and this sounds a little, and you get that it feels familiar and new at the same time.
Yeah. Tom York and Jeff Buckley are a lot of what we see compared to.
Yeah. But you know, a few others, and I may succumb to this later in this episode, but for now, I'll just say it feels like music that it is completely new and fresh, and yet it feels like a warm blanket and so comfortable at the same time.
And he's only 21 years old. And he's from Galway in Ireland, and he says that he started writing music when he was 13. He learned to play the guitar, but he was mostly just kind of writing by himself until he moved to Manchester, and then he started working with more people, and now he has this really great backing band.
And they met in their music school there. Uh-huh. So just what music school should lead to is amazing bands where everyone just has this sense of comfort, and clearly just that they match. There's such great sounds here, and it's a huge band that he's worked with for a variety, all these different sounds, and we'll just call them out as necessary, but for now.
And I have to correct myself. He's 22, not 21.
Seems like there's a lot of, he has kind of this air of mystery where
there's not a lot of interviews out or biographical information about him. But so I mean, I did have in my notes that he was 22. I just remembered 21.
Well, he feels really young.
He's very young.
Yeah, Geese somehow found someone even younger than they are, because they're just little kids. Anyway, but yeah, it's an amazing start, and continues to build into this next track called Pale Song.
Thinking of
how the sound of this album progresses, where that first one, I think, was arguably folky. This one is substantially less, where you're getting these really noticeable electronic sounds coming in. This ends has these bloops, and the production is really noticeable, not distracting, but noticeable in that there's a lot of stereo separation. Mm-hmm. And I think there are so many different sounds going on. And so especially slap on a good set of headphones and you'll really hear like, oh, all these guitars, one's over on my right, one's on my left. And so you really get a sense of all these different sounds playing together in it.
He produced this himself. And so it may have been a case of, you know, this is my album. This is my first time maybe producing a record for anyone. And I'm really going to go nuts.
Yeah. But it doesn't feel overwrought. And it is just that one of those things, like you always want to grade people on the curve for their first record. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm going to grade on the curve, but I feel like I don't have to because it sounds so polished. His voice feels like a complete instrument. And if he can grow from here, oh my God. And, you know, we haven't talked much about the lyrics. And I'll say this record is not, it's very listenable. I'd say the lyrics are not necessarily as accessible, but I feel like there's bits and pieces. This is one that's, you know, I think relatively accessible in that the lyrics really seem to have a lot of allusions to death and dying and burying people and gravestones. And it's a little bit morbid.
Well, and I think there's two things. Like the lyrics are tough to hear what he's saying, but then also when you hear what he's saying, they're very obscure and they're just kind of these snippets of imagery and ideas.
Yeah. But I feel like this is one of the ones that's at least a little more accessible. And it's sort of, I like that, this record has, I guess, had three singles. And so the last track was the first single. And then two singles were released together, which was this track, Pale Song, and then the next song, which I think are two of the most kind of accessible and poppy. And just, I think it's really smart to just get pull people in. And yeah, I love this track. It's just so, the emotions build and it is just really dark. And yet you feel this sense of hope in his voice.
Yeah. So the next song is a real change in tone, and it's called Love Is.
Gave me no chance to kiss you
such a full sound. It's, I think, the most, as you said, probably most accessible on the record, and it has so much energy. And we don't have, or at least I couldn't find track by track credits, but for the album as a whole, we have credited, you know, saxophone, bass, clarinet, and then multiple backing vocals, multiple drummers, multiple guitarists, someone on button accordion. So there's a lot of other players going in to create this very full, complete sound.
Yeah, and the cello here gives it such a like a romance to this track that is so maximalist. And it really is where these first two tracks, I was like, I don't know, this is, you know, very folky. And then this one is just like, no. And it, you know, I felt like this guitar tone and melody would not be out of place on a Wolf Parade album. Like that really for me was the kind of sonic touch point. And if the entire record were that, it's like, okay, that would just be like a knockoff, but it's like, okay, this guy is so versatile and to do it so well. And yeah, just making such good use of the call and response vocals on here where you get the like, love is, as he's just rattling off these different, and then love is not. And this is then the first verse and chorus, or chorus and verse. And then the second time through, it just kind of goes all to love is, but it's just kind of repeated. And in its way hopeful, but also, you know, an antidote to, you know, love songs about like, oh, if I just find love, I find everything. Like, well, it's a start.
And I feel like the range of his voice is really evident in this song. Like, he's fine just kind of in a mid-range with almost sort of like an indie pop song, but he can still go up to these swooping falsettos that are very, they still sound very strong.
Yeah, it is really remarkable songwriting here paired with this amazing voice where, and the song, especially the pacing where we come in that beginning where it starts off as this just quiet crooning with piano and strings. And it's almost like a song ending before it explodes into this other thing. And then there's an entire, like another 30 second just breakdown in the middle before the chorus comes back and rescues us. It's a lot of confidence that we're along for the ride, and it's a hell of a ride.
The next song we'll play is also very high energy. It's called Jaundice.
I love that Jaundice, which is really a pretty gross image of someone who is sickly and not doing well, is paired with this jaunty song that is so happy and cheerful.
It's very much an Irish folk song sort of sound.
Yeah, I love it. And I know I'm going to do what I said I was going to try to avoid, which is that likening his voice to someone, because this is where he really lets loose on this track. I really hear these echoes of Freddie Mercury, and that is high praise. And I think it's on several of the tracks of the rest of this record where when he lets loose and lets there be a bit of vibrato, and oh my God, this guy could fill an arena. You just get that sense that the power here is really something to be reckoned with.
Yeah, my understanding of his live performances is he and his bandmates are just very captivating. And despite, you know, being an opener on these Geese shows where a lot of people didn't know who he was, has really commanded at the attention of the crowd.
Yeah, not at all surprising. And it is really something too. I love that just this song could be so cheerful and then have such a weird ending with these just kind of wailing, very improvised feeling horns over this like bang, bang, bang drums.
Well, yeah, they almost sound like bongo drums. It's just like a really...
Yeah, no, a lot of these tracks do have really interesting percussion. I think usually it's not really drawing attention to itself, but here where it's just this super like out of control, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
It's really charming. And yeah, so much sonic variety here and the band working so well together, his voice doing all these different things. And it's not a long record. It's what, 10
like
tracks?
33 minutes. Or
yeah.
Something.
And so it is really something that he's packed so much into these songs. And there's, very minimal, like there's not a lot of bridges. It's just chorus, verse, and
None of the songs are duds. Like we have to cut some out in order to, you know, we can't play every song on the podcast, but they're all there. I liked all of them.
Yeah. It's we're.
As you say, all killer, no filler.
All killer, all filler. Anyway, from here we go to another, another killer song. It's called Heaven Has No Wings.
Thank you.
piano gives this song such a powerful, different sound. And it made me think of the band Keane, if people remember them. Their singer also has a really high, versatile voice with a lot of piano. But this song I felt is like the piano and the like the very enthusiastic playing give it such a heft and such an energy that the other tracks don't have.
Yeah, it is really propulsive. And I mean, a lot of the songs, though, I feel like Love is has a lot of energy. And then Jaundice has that jig energy. A lot of them find different ways to push you forward. But this one, maybe, yeah, the piano does give it a certain meatiness.
Yeah, it's like a big swing.
Yeah, and then his voice swings high, even as the piano is creating this foundation. And this is another one that's like very vivid imagery that I'm not sure all of the things it means, but yeah, there's just that notion of catching falcons and then this one guy telling the falcons, take me with you, take me away.
Well, and it's, we're all hunting with falcons, we've all got meat on our hands.
Yeah, well, it's like we're catching the falcons with meat. And then this one guy just like, once he's caught the falcon, like, no, fly away, bring me with you into the sky.
Yeah.
It's such a great image. And I don't know all of the layers of meaning, but yeah, the idea that the title of the song, like, well, in heaven, there's no wings, but down on earth, we have wings. And like, so what does that mean? I'm not sure, but it inspires me to think and just wonder. And sometimes that's all you need from the music. There are no answers, just all questions.
And yet he's, you know, cited Shane McGowan as an influence as far as really putting emotion and getting feeling, like making sure that people get a feeling from your songs. And so he's really trying to convey, I think, you know, though in the way that an abstract painting can, a meaning without telling a story. But just with the instrumentation in his voice.
Yeah, it's really quite something. And after these more propulsive, I think we get to a slightly more contemplative and another waltz time track. It's called It Is a Blizzard, and I guess it's kind of the title track.
A breeze had come forth, born in the north, so cold I thought that he'd die, so I buried my cry. Scattered the ash of the earth. With awe I'm too kind, the talent of time will wash this hand from my back, then compass the tracks, so all that I've left is the
great addition to songs that are Christmas, but just deeply sad, and songs that are sound really warm, but there is just this inherent darkness of like, I'm going to be gone. And that notion of like, you will be celebrating and I will not.
This really sounded to me sort of like a song people would sing as the bar is closing. It's a real like warm folksiness, despite the, you know, baby kind of downer message, but it's, you kind of can sing along with it. It's got the piano. He's got the real crooner voice going. I don't know. That is the vibe that it gave me.
Yeah. Well, it's in that sense of like, it's warm inside, even if it's cold outside.
Yes.
And let's focus on the positive here. And there are just some nice, really touch. I think like coming into the verses here, there's like this little bit of like plucked cello, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's not just the guitars that gives it a real kind of earthiness that I appreciate. And yeah, that, again, the specific reference to Sip the Whiskey, it does have that sense of being a drinking song. And it's focused on the positive, but yeah, it is, there is that feeling of somewhere someone's going to be freezing out in that blizzard soon enough, so celebrate while you can.
Yeah, I mean, the title of the album is Blizzard. It is appropriate that it was released in December.
Yeah, winter album for sure. And so we come from this somewhat elliptical, warm, bummer, sweet, sour Christmas song to the penultimate track. It's called Away You Stride.
Tonight I said I slacked the road, unespied my kicks, the bay keeps close, and I'm heading for the West Bay. Keep their cameras off my face. Remember me in action. Don't remember me in space. I open my cards, just hoping they're fine. I cut off my heart.
Not to keep making comparisons, but we recently watched the Jeff Buckley documentary, It's Never Over. And one of the things that someone said about him that stuck in my mind was that as he got higher, his voice actually got more powerful instead of losing power. And I feel like that's what happens at the end of this song. It's just he really lets his voice go in this song and really shows off the range.
Yeah, it is a hell of a powerful instrument. And this song being just a singer-songwriter, a guy on his guitar, and
who's 22.
And it's, yeah, remarkable. And you could almost imagine, you know, an entire album of just this would be pretty great, but
it would be technically impressive.
Yeah. But it is that sense of he doesn't need to hog the spotlight. Like, yes, I'm going to be up front because this voice is amazing, but my band is amazing too.
And
but
also I can write great songs in a variety of moods.
Yeah, that it is 10 tracks and there's just so little, you know, we talked about the no filler in terms of the songs, but even within the songs, like a lot of them are really short and like,
but with
I
a
don't,
lot of ideas.
Yeah, I don't think there's a single bridge on this album. It's instead, he's just all about, I'm going to make really complicated verses where the verse within the course of it has multiple different movements. Mm-hmm. And so in the space of 30 seconds, there's just a wealth of different ideas. And each time the instrumentation can change different keys, his voice can take on a different mood. And it flows so naturally. Like these songs don't feel busy. They feel like, oh, that's just, of course, how they work. And yet you really look into them and like, God, there is so much squeezed into these, and he just makes it look easy.
Yeah.
It's really quite something. And, you know, you wonder when is his big headlining tour, because after opening for Geese and now this record getting so much attention. And I will say, we don't have to worry. If you missed that Geese show, you didn't also miss Dove Ellis, at least the one in San Francisco, because he was all on half the tour. Mm-hmm. And so I think the San Francisco and LA shows had a different opener, but one can look forward to presumably a huge tour to come, just not yet announced.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, this album covers so much ground, and each of the songs has such a different feel, but his voice is so singular that that's what ties the whole album together. And it feels very cohesive. And I think for a debut album, this seems really, you know, this seems like a third or fourth album. Like there's so much precision and thoughtfulness and, you know, craft to the songs that is impressive for somebody who's only 22 and putting out his first album.
Yeah, it is hard to express my gratitude for just that the artists like this, that we can still get new artists come to surprise us, amaze us, and delight us in this way. It gives one at least a little modicum of hope that the world has such beauties in it.
All right.
I mean, it's just, it is a record that it's so re-listenable. I think from the first time I heard it, it's like, oh, this is really something.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. I suggested this one and you were like, not sure. And then you had to listen to it for a while.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about doing it for the show, but I wanted to keep listening to it. Okay. And every time it was more clear, like, yeah. And some of it is, but because it can be a little, it's very listenable, but not always easy to sum up because there's so much going on, but so much of it is elliptical. And it is, I did fall back on just each song after song, like, oh my God, this guy's voice is so amazing, which is maybe not the most interesting conversation to have, except that he uses it amazingly, but in so many different directions with so much versatility. It's really something.
So to sum it up, he has an amazing voice.
Yes.
So the last song that we're going to play was actually the first single, and it's called To the Sandals. And we're going to go out with that. Again, we've been discussing the debut album from Irish singer-songwriter Dove Ellis. His real name is actually Thomas O'Donohue, but he got the name Dove from a children's book called Flight of the Doves about two kids who flee Liverpool from their abusive family members to go see their grandmother in Galway. And he said Ellis. He just kind of came up with it. It doesn't mean anything. Anyway,
it's a good stage name. It works.
Yeah. Dove Ellis. The album is called Blizzard. And you've been listening to For the Record. Thanks so much for listening.
BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.